Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Mom, can you tell me a story?
Sure. Once upon a time, a mom needed a new car.
Was she brave?
She was tired, mostly. But she went to Carvana.com and found a great car at a great price. No secret treasure map required.
Did she have to fight a dragon?
Nope. She bought it 100% online. From her bed, actually.
Was it scary?
Honey, it was as unscary as car buying could be.
Did the car have a sunroof?
It did, actually.
Okay, good story.
Car buying you'll want to tell stories about. Buy your car today on
Carvana.
Delivery fees may apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Grey's Academy. It's your favorite Grey's Anatomy podcast in the entire state of the world. Whatever state that is, we don't know. But you have your two favorite hosts. My name is Carmen.
My name is Kelsey, and it is a beautiful night for a podcast. And guys, I just feel like the month of June specifically is out to get us.
Yeah.
Both as individual humans and as a podcasting unit. There has been a small boo-boo.
Not a bad boo-boo, but a boo-boo.
No, it's really not that bad. It's actually, to me, really funny. Carmen does feel bad. I actually think it's really funny.
So today, I watched the episode, Grey's Anatomy, Season 10, Episode 21. And what you're probably thinking to yourself is, hold on, Carmen and Kelsey, I'm listening to Season 10, Episode 20. So how could that be? Well, you see, because everything went haywire last week with Kelsey being sick and the tornadoes, I forgot that I had already watched the episode. So I today started the next episode and took notes.
He was trying so hard to be proactive and responsible, and it really bit him in the ass.
See, this is the problem. This is why I shan't be proactive and irresponsible. This is why
you shall be those things.
I shall be irresponsible. I shan't be irresponsible. So the only bad thing is no predictions at the end of the episode.
Yeah. And because of the way that Carmen takes notes, we do still have his stream of consciousness, essentially, because he just writes down every thought that he has when he watches the episode.
Yes.
So we can still revisit it, and we can maybe talk about what he thought was going to happen and just take his word for it, that is what he thought was happening. Since he now knows what happens next.
Yes.
And then next week, we'll do the episode that he watched, and I'll try to remind him to not watch another episode.
Yeah, I'm going to need a reminder, I think.
Yeah. I think you might. So anyways, so that's the silly little update. Yeah, June has really just been, like, doing the most in a lot of not great ways for us.
Which is unfortunate, because we are allies. So why are we getting caught up in whatever kind of magic is happening here?
There was like I think there was some kind of weird full moon a couple weeks ago, which really tracks for me.
Yeah.
I have 5 events booked in June, and I am working 4 of them. And they were all, 3 of them were in a 7-day period. So that was really like a lot for me.
And I don't know that I edited that one Patreon episode, so people don't even know the story of the last one.
Oh, right.
I have to send that.
That'll be up there too.
Yeah.
That'll be up. You guys will hear about the crazies.
Yeah, the crazies for sure. I have a couple shout outs. Why don't you go first?
Okay, so we have some new patrons.
Ooh!
We have Michelle.
Michelle! Hell yeah!
And Lisa.
Lisa! Hell yeah!
And I think that's it. But I do have an email
that
I can't read the whole thing, but I did want to read the part where she said, I don't have Apple, so I can't leave a review, but just know that every single time I listen, I think, man, I love this podcast so much. The banter, the laughs, the genuine love you both have for the show, a solid 5 stars and then some. Also, love the hate for the shitty reviews.
Hell yeah. Who wrote that email?
This is Ketzia from New Zealand.
Hell yeah. Ket with a Z? Ketzia?
Mm-hmm.
Ketzia. Putting the Z in New Zealand.
Yes. So, yeah, I just wanted to put that little part in there because that was lovely.
I love that. That is awesome. Yeah,
also,
definitely.
Also, I was, got to give a shout out to Joe because I was FaceTiming my sister and she was at her in-law's house and Joe is her in-law. And so my kids and I got to pop on and say hi to Joe. And then, of course, one of my children started having a meltdown, so I had to hang up really fast.
It's fair.
Because these older kids are constantly doing things on the floor and expecting the infant not to interfere, and that never goes well.
At this point now, I feel like Joe is kind of like the podcast's in-law, you know?
He is. He's the podcast father-in-law.
You're the podcast father-in-law. Honorary podcast father-in-law. So I've got a couple shout outs. Number one is, and I forgot to read this last week, and I'm glad that it gets to be a part of a real episode, but we have a new Apple review.
Yes.
We have a 5-star review and it's cut off, but the title is "This podcast literally gets me through the th and then dot dot dot." I assume it's the week, maybe the month. I don't know, but it is a 5-star review from the Megan Garrison. Is that hyperbolic? Maybe. Have y'all seen the state of the world though? Ironic, because I live and work in politics and healthcare in Tennessee. So I'm serious when I say I'm getting a new episode of Grey's Academy on Thursdays. Does indeed get me through the week. I've rewatched Grey's so many times, but when I found this podcast a couple of years ago, they were in the middle of season 6, aka right before the best season finale of all time. I love listening to Carmen's reactions and predictions, so I finally convinced my husband to sit down and watch all 20 seasons with me, and it was the best time. So shout out to Grey's Academy for that. I also relate to Kelsey and Carmen on every level politically, and as an elder emo in my 30s, so each and every tangent brings me joy. Plus, I despise Owen Hunt with every fiber of my being. 10 out of 10, no notes. I'm so glad Grey's Anatomy will never end so that this podcast will also never end. Much love, Megan. Much love. Yeah, that was very, very awesome. And then I've got, I think, a couple... shout out to our dear friend, Andrea, over in Germany. Sent me a nice little voice memo today. So really loved getting send a voice memo back to you. Shout out to another new friend. I don't know. Let's see. She's on season 8, episode 12. So I got this message from someone named Carol. And she heard me talking about Veg, and she works a couple of shifts at the Veg in Denver, Colorado. So she's like, I had to reach out and introduce myself to you. So this is amazing. Grace is my comfort show. So love it. Really love getting a chance to chat with you, Carol. Although it is Carol with an E, so I assume it's pronounced Caroli.
It's Carol.
No, I think it's Caroli. And if it's not, I think we should change it. And then...
Okay, Kermern.
I forgot about that. I was like, are you having a stroke? Forgot about that. I think that's all I got. Yeah. That's it.
Amazing. Okay, is there anything else we need to say before we just get right into actually talking about the show?
I don't know. I guess. I hope we got it. Hope we got it all.
Me too. Okay. So this episode was episode 20 of the 10th season. It was the 215th episode overall. It was called "Go It Alone," and that is a song.
"Go It Alone" is a song by Beck. I lost my page here. Hold on a second. "Go It Alone." Beck.
You're amazing.
It's okay. I had it and it's gone now. Beck, where are you? Ironically enough, I was told at one point when I used to work at Finish Line that I looked like Beck.
I just think of the first season of You, the show on Netflix, because the girl's name was Guinevere Beck. She went by Beck.
Ah, Guinevere Beck. Okay, so yes, the song Go It Alone is off of the album Guero. I don't know. It's the 9th studio album by Beck. There wasn't much information on the song Go It Alone, but this album was released on March 29th, 2005, the year the White Sox won the World Series. And it was produced by John King and Mike Simpson of the Dust Brothers, who I have no idea who that is. But the singles off of that album were E-Pro, Girl, and quote-unquote Hell Yes, which I love. And the album did pretty well. The song did not chart, but the album hit the top 100 in Australia, Austria, Belgium, Canada, Finland, France, Germany, New Zealand. Oh, shout out Metzia. Norway.
Ketzia.
What did I say?
Metzia.
Ketzia.
You were so close.
Julia Gulia. Portugal, Spain, Sweden, Switzerland, the UK, and the US, hitting number 2 in the Billboard Top 200. The song, I will tell you, was just meh, but I also, no offense to anyone who is a big fan of Beck, I think Beck is just meh. So, with that being said, I'm going to give it a subjective 2, but an objective 3, because it was on an album that did pretty well. And with that, I'm going to turn it back to you, Kelsey.
Thank you so much. This episode was written by Lauren Barnett, directed by Mark Jackson, aired April 17th in 2014 to 8.45 million viewers. And the Netflix synopsis is, Christina insists that she wants to attend the awards ceremony alone. Derek is overwhelmed and April and Jackson quarrel over children and religion. And I feel like that is pretty accurate.
That is pretty accurate. What oh, you got something noise? Going off in your house somewhere.
What? The printer just started singing. Oh my God, that was terrifying.
That is hilarious. Happening? You know, I actually, I don't know if I have, this is a hot take, but I fucking hate printers. Why in modern times do we need things printed? We can download everything. We have phones.
I actually do have to print a lot of stuff for work.
I hate printers. And they never work. They're always
that
broken.
That is the thing. It's like, I have the printer in my house, and it's like, how dare you ask me to print something?
Seriously. It's
pretty
all,
regularly that
it's
happens.
It's always out of ink. It never connects to the internet. It never wants to print things within the margins that
my
I set it.
My favorite is the tweet or whatever that's like, me, please print this please print this page in only black ink. My printer. Only black? When I'm low on magenta?
There was a printer, I don't remember which company it was, but I'll never buy this brand again, where they wouldn't actually let it print unless you had full cartridges of all the colors. And it was like a super scam, and I did not know about that. So I'm glad that I got a new printer.
I definitely think Epson. It depends on the line of work you're in, how much you actually need stuff printed. Like Michael B. printing checks all the time for work.
I think the only reason I bought our last printer was because we were hand printing all of our invites to the wedding. And that printer, I mean, it lasted
that
6
was
years.
Not a good time.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was a good time, but like that printer was not doing well.
Yeah. Yeah. Goodness. What a time to be alive.
Shout out Ryan and me and Carmen sitting there until like 4 a.m.
And Marlena helping by napping in the other room.
By being asleep.
Ooh, didn't we all work that day and then work the next day too?
No, I was like, it was right when I was about to start working the closing shift. So I was like, well, I have to start staying up until 2 a.m. Because I'm going to be staying up until 1 a.m. professionally.
Yes. Like a boss.
Oh, I did not enjoy that.
The staying up late or the like a boss?
The staying up late.
Okay. So where do you want to start this storyline? I feel I have so many things in my head mixing up. I'm going to need you to lead me to the...
Yeah, that's totally fair. I will say I think the theme of this episode, episode 20, was communication.
Mm.
Because really, in my opinion, most people's thoughts, feelings, whatever, are valid. But no one is talking.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're like coming into conversations really hostile and like not in good faith.
Yeah.
Like if I'm going to have a conversation with someone who I know is likely to disagree with me, I definitely like I understand like coming in hot and being like, I'm already mad because of what I think you're going to say.
Yeah.
Or you did something else that's completely irrelevant, but to me, in my head, I have related it back to this situation and I am mad about it. So like with the April and Jackson thing, I'm like, I have a lot of feelings on the April and Jackson thing. For the 800th time, I am not a J. April stan. I don't like it. And this central conflict is part of the reason. It is very similar, in my view, to the Christina and Owen central conflict of like, at your core, you have such different worldviews and like desires. And it's like, is it compatible?
Yeah.
I don't, it just, and also what bothers me is like, this is not new information. Both of these people knew all of these things before they made this choice to get married.
Yeah.
And I do think feasibly it could be compatible, but not if they're both going to stay mad about it or like stay judging about it, which like, they both definitely are. And what bums me out about April is basically how she's like, oh, you're so judgmental. And she's acting like she's not.
Yeah, they're both being
judgmental. But like the whole
thing
was like, I just feel bad for you. That's so patronizing and like condescending in a really negative way.
Yeah, so this storyline, I looked back at my notes. When it started with a deaf couple and a girl got bit by the dog and they were disagreeing about putting the dog or getting rid of the dog or something. Mm-hmm, I'm like, actually, I'm on the side of getting rid of the dog. Like if I had a dog who bit my child, which God forbid, knock on wood, hopefully will never happen. And it is partly training and how you socialize the dog and also like keep your eye on kids and boundaries of dogs because there's usually warning signs. But yeah, if I have a dog that mouth to face bit my child, That dog is not staying in the house. Maybe that's a hot take working in the veterinary field. I
don't know. I feel like it is. I don't feel like it's a hot take. And I feel like with this, I would love more context. Like, is this a new dog? Did they have the dog before the kid was born? Did they get the dog recently? Like, his argument is like the dog like gave warning to the girl. But like, if the girl can't hear, you have to then step back and be like, okay, well, neither of the, like, the situation wasn't, like, intentional. Like, the dog didn't just come out of nowhere and bite this kid. Like, yes, the dog did what the dog thought was right, and the girl was unaware of the warning. So you just have to then remove the dog simply because the dog is behaving as expected.
Yeah.
But because like the girl is at a disadvantage where she doesn't know that, like she physically is not ever going to be able to be aware that the dog is doing that, then the best course of action, in my opinion, would be to get rid of the dog and then just probably not have a dog.
Yeah.
Like at least for until the girl's like older and like has a better like understanding and maybe like has been around other people's dogs that are like well trained and things like that. Like this specific situation, I think there is more context and nuance to it than just like, oh yeah, I have like a kid who was just walking through the room and the dog like lunged and bit their face. Like, yeah, that dog's not staying.
Yeah. Like, yeah. But it's interesting because they throw a full misdirect. It has nothing to do with the dog. I don't think we see that family again the rest of the episode. They're merely a vessel for conflict between Jackson and April.
Yes.
So, and then I think it starts with them basically saying, I think it's crazy. Like, why wouldn't you want to get cochlear implants? And then April says something to the effect of like, it's a blessing. And the deaf community sees it as a blessing, blah, blah, blah. Not blah, blah, blah to diminish that, but blah, blah, blah. She says more random blah, blah, blah shit.
Yeah, she's just saying things because she's again, coming in hot. She's already
coming
that.
In very hot. Yes. And honestly, like, here's the thing. I want to take a small tangent here. I love me some God. Love Jesus. All right. I play at church almost every Sunday. And here's a shocking take in some realms of the Christianity community. I believe in science. So like, oh my goodness. There is a middle ground here. And I think that's kind of the most frustrating part that I feel is I believe in science and I believe in prayer. Do I believe that, like prayer alone does things? I don't know. I don't know fully what I believe sometimes. And I think that's,
it's part of faith.
Part of faith is the interpretation of some of these things. And, you know, like, I think there was an episode of Scrubs where they tackle, like, Dr. Cox is like, I cured this person's cancer. And his sister was like, God cured cancer. And he's like, I did it. And she's like, but God made you and the medicine, blah, blah, blah. Like, right. So there's like a lot of things that go into it. I don't know fully what I mean or what I believe, but the point is, I think I got frustrated by this whole de-evolution and de-escalation of like their communication, because there's a middle ground. They just have to fucking talk.
But neither one of them, like, they're both there. It's very on like 0 and 100.
Zero,
and, like,
yes.
No one is making an effort to come to the middle, because, and obviously, like, I'm not going to speak on behalf of the deaf community. Like, I don't know the deaf community.
Same. Neither will I.
Unrelated to the deaf community. Jessica has become deaf. She was not born deaf. That's a very different situation.
She's also not fully deaf
hearing aids.
Doesn't sign, and
yeah,
it's not a genetic thing that we know of at this point.
Yeah. So we can't be like, oh, this is 100% what I would or would not do. I think I likely would lean on the cochlear implant side. Again, people say all the time, oh, I would do X, Y, and Z no matter what. I don't know, but I think that I likely would if it was a possibility. Solely because whilst it would be lovely for more people to understand and utilize sign language, that is not the case at this point in time. And it's hard to communicate with people already.
Yeah.
That is truly, like, that would be my main concept of reason, I guess, on, like, why I would likely make that choice.
Yeah.
However, I think, like, I don't think Jackson was coming from a bad place when he offers it to the parents. And I don't think he was being super rude. Like, as soon as... like, the dad says no, and all he does is kind of expand on, like, just so you know, like, it's, like, not very dangerous. It's, like, really low risk. She's a great candidate because of her age, blah, 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 all this stuff. Like, again, not, like, wow, why are you not doing that? Just, like, informing, which is the job of a doctor. I don't think he's doing it in, like, a pushy or rude way. And as soon as the dad, like, sets the more firm boundary with it as, like, no... we feel strongly, like, we know the details and we feel strongly about not doing it. As soon as that comes across, Jackson's like, I'm sorry. Like, I was not trying to be rude. Like, absolutely understand your decision. Like, that's your call to make.
Yeah.
So the hostility as far as, like, with them, I don't think was, like, as aggressive as April kind of read it.
Yeah.
And again, she comes in really hot because in her mind, she's already turned it into a very different conversation, which is like about her faith and her upbringing, which is unfair because give Jackson a chance to piss you off before you decide that he's pissed you off. Like, let him actually do it. And no, and he does, but like, let him do it first.
I also, here's the other thing I have beef with this storyline in general. April clearly believes in science. They're both doctors.
Yeah.
So there is a middle ground. I think more of this onus is on, I think that while both of these parties are wrong, my personal opinion is April is more in the wrong. Because she and him are both doctors. She just believes one additional thing. They both believe in science. Jack Seaman said, I believe in medicine. I believe in this. And I think that April is the person who has the yes and. So she should be taking that time to build some of that bridge. But also, maybe this is a conversation that you should have had before you get married.
Yeah. Also, when she's like, oh, replace cochlear implant with christening or whatever it is, you don't know that Jackson's going to be against that.
Totally.
Like, I am not... I've talked about this before. I have a complicated relationship with religion because just like being in the Bible Belt, there's a lot of things about organized religion that I don't super love. However, I respect it a lot, and I respect a lot of people in it. And like our children were baptized. Not something that I sought out, but it mattered a lot to other people, and it mattered way more to them to have it done than it mattered to me to not do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not hurting anything for them to go get baptized.
Yeah.
There's not a lot outside of that that's happening. There are like conversations and just general, like, you know, be a good person conversations, which is apparently wildly separate from some people's religion.
Mm.
So interesting. But it's just like she's not even giving him the chance to be supportive. She's just decided that he won't be. And that it's going to be a problem. And that is a bummer because, again, like, let him, like, if he, because he certainly does know these things about her. So maybe he would be fine with it because he knew that she had this belief when he married her. So she's not saying, like, oh, would you be okay with this when we have a kid? She's saying, I know you're going to be mean to me about this. And I'm like, okay, well, like, give him a chance. What if he's not? Now, if he is, I mean, have the conversation. But, like, maybe give the person you married an ounce of the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
But she said no.
Also, as someone who has been part of the quote-unquote organized religion, I see all the time, more so with women, where women will go to church and, like, the husband will come because my wife asked me to, or it's mm-hmm. Mother's Day, so I had to do what my wife yeah. asked, and I came to church with her, right? I just think there is a, and this also is probably a hot take within the Christian faith, because there's that whole equally yoked thing. But, like, I think that you can probably have a marriage that is successful where two people see things differently. Mm-hmm. And to your point, with christenings or baptism or however you want to raise, you know, the family, like, raise your kids to be good people and let them choose yeah. what they want. And also, like, maybe along the way, Jackson decides that the whole Jesus thing is for him. Who knows? But getting blown up in this big conversation right off the bat with no like good faith operation.
That's my
for
thing is like
husband,
she comes
like,
in and just like with she's with just the assumption he's going yeah. to be a terrible person about it. And I'm like, yeah. if your assumption is that he's going to like be really mean and hateful to you about this thing that is very core to like your existence, then why would you marry him?
Yeah.
Questions. Now, if now he shouldn't be mean to, he shouldn't be mean to him. He should not be mean to her.
Neither of them should be mean to each other.
Correct. it's just like, let him do the thing that's pissing you off before you get mad about it. I don't know. But yes, Matthew was very religious.
And she threw it all away.
Yep.
You think he'd take her back still?
Do you?
No.
Good stuff.
All right. Let's do a capitalism, and then I don't know what else we should. Let's talk about the next topic. Let's just do a quick capitalism. Yeah. The Strait of Hormuz is open, so take it away, capitalism.
What is that?
Oh, yeah, it's a World Cup holder.
Like the soccer tournament World Cup?
Holder. For the world. Fits every car, holds every cup.
It has a Carvana logo?
Carvana made it. They buy and sell cars, so they made a car cup holder. So, got any good cups lately?
Used to, just couldn't figure out where in the world to put them.
The World Cup holder, brought to you by Carvana, proud sponsors of the World Cup holder.
Sign up today to win yours at cup-holder2026.com. Not authorized or endorsed by FIFA, not a real product, for parody and fair use purposes only.
And we are back. Hopefully you had a gasoline advertisement.
How expensive is gasoline at your house right now?
It's like $4.39.
Yikes. It has not gone above $3 here.
Yeah, it's it got in Chicago, like downtown, it was above $6.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. It was above $5 here out by us for a very long time.
Just, you should buy this house next to me.
I already told you, I just need a job.
I found you a job.
No, nope, you gotta find me an equivalent job. Comparable job.
Yeah. Okay, so just to wrap up on the April and Jackson thing, at the end, it does end with her going and asking Callie in Arizona if she can stay with them. So obviously,
they are
Herman
not
knows
staying together.
What happens next. However, in the moment, what did you think was happening?
I thought it was the start of like a breakup of like, yeah. Gosh, are you guys fucking kidding me? Like, This is exactly what Catherine was trying to avoid. But I also, here's the thing. I think that they could work it out together. And this is regardless of me knowing what comes next. I think the problem is this is just like a core thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like what Christina and Owen had. The difference is they can both want kids and have different viewpoints on religion. They can both want a lot of things and have different viewpoints on religion. I think the difference with this conversation that is frustrating for me to watch from the outside looking in is Jackson, I don't think, is convincing April that religion is stupid, but April is convincing Jackson that not having religion is stupid. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like,
and
it,
I think Jackson only attacks back when she attacks him.
She does come off as the more like judgmental one, which like is not the point. However, it does seem like that happens a lot. Not all the time, but historically
often.
Speaking, it does seem like that's the way it goes. And I just don't know if that. What Jesus really wants.
Yeah. But, agreed.
I think, yeah, ultimately people can certainly have like meaningful, lasting, committed relationships in different religions and different belief systems, but there has to be the respect for the belief that the other person holds. You cannot have a functional relationship if you think that the belief system that the other person like has built into their existence is like stupid. If you at the core, you're like, the thing that you believe that makes you who you are is very dumb, but I love ya. Do you?
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it.
There are people out there who are Yankees fans and they marry a New York Mets fan.
Certainly comparable.
There are people out there who have different political leanings and
absolutely
still are married to
one
each other.
One.
I'm just saying the point is that there are people out there who in their core identities mm-hmm. have different beliefs of other people and they still are able to make a marriage yeah. work. And yeah. again, it's so much different than the kid thing. The kid yeah. thing is a there is no compromise.
Yeah.
I think you can be a little religious.
Yeah.
You can't be a little, you can't like be a little bit of a father.
A kid's hand.
Yeah.
I'll have the baby's elbow.
So ultimately, I do think that this is something that is overcomable. I just don't know what that looks like. And even with knowing the next episode, I don't know like it, what the thing is that keeps them together or what the thing is that they gets them to see eye to eye.
Yeah.
So, all right. So what next?
We can talk about Derek.
Derek, my guy.
Who I will say did say the words, "I'm sorry," unprompted. He was not asked. No one told him to do it. He recognized his failings and he said them, and I will acknowledge that he did that.
You know, Derek gets a lot of unwarranted hate on
this
show.
That's not true. Derek gets a lot of warranted hate.
But he also gets a lot of unwarranted hate. I think he gets a lot of both.
I don't think that's true. I think he earns every last bit of it.
I think it's just, it's getting harder for me to hate Derek with how much Owen sucks.
That is fair and valid. I hate Owen more than I hate Derek.
I just think comparatively. You know what word also does not sound real? Licenses. Multiple licenses. I had a stroke the other day when I said the word licenses. I was like, guys, hold on. I'm talking to two doctors. Licenses is a word, right? And they're like, yes.
License I. Licensee. Licenses.
I'm having a license seizure right now, okay? Nice. This is like not good for me. Oh, yeah. Goodness. Anyways, yeah, Derek, good guy.
Here's what happens, though, that I didn't love before he gets to the apology point. He does a lot of dancing around of like, well, listen, everything's fine, so why are you mad? That's not the point, bro. Like, it's your kids. This one matters.
Yeah.
For your wife to not know where your kids are is problematic. Especially
agreed.
With the communication of was sent to like, hey, I need you to pick up the kids. And he acknowledged that and said, yes, okay, I'll take care of that. And simply then did not.
But it was taken care of.
It was, but Meredith didn't know. Like, even if he was like, figure, and I don't know that we even get the story of how Callie and Arizona end up with the kids.
No, they like, just all of a sudden had the kids.
It could have been that no one picked them up at daycare. And daycare was like, we gotta close. And like called Derek. And Derek was like, oh shit, those kids. And then he called Callie and Arizona. Or it could be that he realized it, reached out to them and was like, hey, can you get the kids? This is the situation. I think it's more likely that it's the second one. However, it could be the first one.
Yeah, absolutely it could be.
So I just think that him continually saying to her, they're fine. Why are you mad? They're okay. When there was she says like 4 hours. She's like, for 4 hours, I didn't know where my kids were. Because you didn't pick them up and then you failed to tell me that you took care of it in a different way.
For the record, that's about 3 hours and 59 minutes too long of not knowing where your kids are.
Yeah. She was way more chill about it than I probably would have been.
Here's the thing. Like, he could have said, hey, any of you peasant interns, text my wife.
Yeah. Or just, like, walk two doors down and find her. Like, they're in the same building.
Yeah.
The effort was not put in.
I would agree with that.
It's like he's trying to map the brain, but he can't even work his own brain. Like, oh, he has 3 tasks to do. Oh, it's too many. Can't do it. I just won't do the one that's my kids.
And they're all big tasks. It's I'm mapping the human brain at the request of Sir Barack Obama.
A medium task.
That's a big task. And then there's a big task of then doing a surgery on a girl with seizures, and then a big task of taking care of your kids. This episode does not start out good for Derek, because Owen walks in and is like, hey, I got a peer
pressure.
Not a
great episode. Owen is pissing me off because Derek, to Derek's point, I am on Derek's side when Owen's like, hey, you're not doing enough surgery here. And Derek's like, you're the one that told me to work for the president. And Owen's like, well, I want you to do everything. So fucking figure it out.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's good or supportive leadership from Owen. I understand what he's saying of like, oh, you're a really incredible doctor and people come here to see you. But I'm like, yes, but that's why the president wanted him.
Yeah.
So like, you're going to need to sort it out. You can't have it both ways. Like, you can't have Derek Shepherd, the full-time surgeon, and Derek Shepherd, the like presidential appointee.
Yeah.
Like, that is asking too much of this one person.
While all of that is happening, all of a sudden Derek's like, all right, you know what? Fuck it. Let's do this surgery. And all of you residents, come watch me. And poor Ben just wants
he's
to take
so sleepy.
A nap.
I just relate to Ben so much in this episode. He's so tired. And like, same.
And everyone's making fun of him. Joe is like, oh, we want to go home and get a bath. Oh, you want some warm milk too? And he's like, yeah, actually.
Yeah, that sounds really
like
nice.
Slap.
And I am not insulted by this.
Yeah. I don't know that I've ever had warm
yeah,
milk.
Yeah, that is always thrown around as a concept in shows or movies when they're like, oh, I'm tired. I need to go to sleep. I'll drink some warm milk. I mean, I've had hot chocolate made with milk, which is like warm chocolate milk.
I've had a latte, which is just steamy
milk
with caffeine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever had warm milk.
Yeah, it just feels weird to like microwave milk.
Yeah.
And the concept of putting it on the stove and waiting also feels weird.
Yeah. And then if you let it, you know, sit out at room temperature, then it's just
that
bad.
That feels dangerous.
It's like the temperature goes through. It's like good, 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 terrible. And then now it's hot
again. Good, good, horrible.
Yeah.
Good, 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 diarrhea.
But then good again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, interesting. And at one point, the guy's like, all right, I'm gonna take a nap for 30 seconds. Sleeps a whole day, apparently.
Good for him.
Yeah, good for him.
I fucking wish I could. In the hall.
Yeah. So, Weber catches him, right? I think Weber walks in and it's like, hey, Ben, you good?
How was your night?
So, so funny. I the other day, so Monday, I worked 9 to 5 and I was back at work at 2 a.m.
Cute.
Yeah. Not easy.
No. Now, I don't want to victim blame Carmen, but I do have a follow-up question.
Yes.
Whoomst is making your work schedule. Oh, guys, he's putting on chapstick. He's putting on chapstick, so weird.
My question is, why does it matter?
I'm just asking a fact-finding question, Kerman.
I make my schedule.
Okay.
Now, this particular event was out of my control. I merely reacted to the situation that I was in. We had a planned power outage.
Ah.
So I thought it would be best for the leader of the hospital to be on site for the team.
That's fine. But what about the day before?
I had to be there for the generator drop-off and prep for the hospital to make sure everything was charged, etc.
I respect what you were attempting to do.
Thank you.
I feel like you were there for your team, but you were not there for the Carmen.
No, I wasn't there for the Carmen. No one ever seems to be there for the Carmen, both in my house
Carmen
and outside of my
almost
house.
Almost constantly there for Carmen. It was really just this one instance that he was.
Carmen is there for everyone else, and no one else is there for Carmen.
Carmen likes to complain for everyone else.
No. I don't like to complain for everyone else. I complain because no one else is going to complain on my behalf. You know,
because
Kelsey,
there's nothing for you to complain about.
I don't think you understand how hard it is to be a cis white male, a cis straight white male in America these days. I am so constantly
persecuted.
It is hard when the deck
near impossible
at birth, the deck is stacked against you. I don't think you understand how hard it is as a woman to walk a foot
don't
in my shoes.
Understand how hard it is to be a man. It's fine, guys. Everything's fine.
All I try to do is be an ally, but no one wants to be my ally. I couldn't even keep it with a straight face.
Okay, wait. Back to Derek. Derek is trying to do a good job with the teaching, which I do respect. He's like, if I am going to do this crazy rare surgery, I'm actually going to take this opportunity to teach with it.
Which is the right thing to do.
Yeah. And he's like doing good. He's like asking lots of questions. He's got him like he's being a good teacher. Oh, also this guy comes in to the ER with scissors in his head, which is crazy. Like they really just like skate over that. Hmm. So then they're like in the surgery, not the scissor surgery, the other surgery, the seizure surgery. And he's like, oh, I need suction, or like I need visibility. And Leah just like sticks her hand in someone's brain. I like, it was really bizarre. Like I don't know if I'm meant to think she's like very dumb, or is she sleep deprived? Like I couldn't get the read on what, because she's like, oh, just instinctually I did it, because obviously brain surgery is different than like surgery in the abdomen. And so maybe that is the right reaction at another surgery and just not this one. But I couldn't tell if we're supposed to think that it was because she's like overtired, or because she's like bad at her job, or if she's just a dumb person. I don't know what we were meant to think. And then at the end, like the girl ends up being okay. And I do think Derek did a good job of telling Leah, she is okay, but don't take this moment of her being okay away from this experience. Take the in-between time where you didn't know if you had like truly destroyed someone's life. Take that feeling away so that we don't make the same mistake.
Yeah. Live in a constant state of thinking that you've ruined someone's life. Yeah. Take that.
Yeah, definitely. So I do think he was doing a good job teaching this episode. But I just couldn't really get a read on why she did the dumb thing.
Also, I feel like he could have stopped her.
Yeah,
it felt like it was all such slow motion. And yeah, her impulse control. Also, is this her first time touching a brain? I don't know.
Yeah, it was weird.
But anyways, I just... Here's the thing. I've grown to like Leah a little bit more.
They have made her a lot more likable in the back half of the season.
Yeah. It was rough. It was rough there for a long time. That whole storyline
for a season and a half, it was pretty bad.
Oh yeah. basically everything relating to Arizona. It's kind of like I didn't like Derek and Meredith together with the whole Addison storyline, but I like them together now. I like Leah and I like Arizona. I do not like Leah and Arizona together.
No, well, and I didn't like Leah when she was like obsessing over Alex. Like,
yeah, that too. Now,
when like having her separate from any like romantic ties and just exist in her education and in her career is way more appealing of a storyline for her. And they give her way more dimension with it. And I'm like, yes, this is valuable, like storytelling. This is more watchable. This is a more likable person.
Can I make a brief comment that borders into the next episode?
Go for it.
The end of the last episode of the episode that's going to be next week, there's a scene at the end where Shane is comforting Leah. And I was really nervous they were going to start trying to ship the two of them. And I'm glad they didn't. Because I agree. The point of me sharing that is I like Leah as a solo character.
Yeah.
I also think people on this show just need a chance to be single every once in a fucking while.
Yeah. Like, know who you are on your own.
Yeah.
Otherwise, Shane, you're literally never going to have a successful relationship.
Yeah. I'm also, looking back, I'm glad they didn't relationship up that the one guy working on the trial with Steph and Meredith.
Oh, yeah. The printer guy?
The printer guy.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, because did he ask her out?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. So, Derek's teaching all the interns. They wanted to go to that karaoke bar. And apparently, Steph is, like, very interested in karaoke bars. I don't know what that is about, but, like, same. And then...
Have you and I ever done karaoke?
We have not done karaoke together.
No, we went to the karaoke bar that one time, and Michael was very drunk on his birthday.
That's right. And neither of our songs
ever
got called.
And we did not get called, no.
Yeah. I've been to that place. What is that, a Rising Star?
Yeah.
I've been to Rising Star a lot, and I have never once in my time there got my song called.
Yeah. I've never been there with someone when they got their song called. I'm like...
It's a scam.
I did have a server tell us once that, like, if you're there are tables closer that you can pay for, and if you pay for those, then they'll, like, put your songs higher. They'll, like, bump other people down.
That's dumb. But I respect the capitalism drip.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love karaoke. I've got one song that I go to. It's never the one that I had for Rising Star. I always put All the Small Things by Blink-182 on Rising Star. But when I'm doing karaoke at a bar, I always have one go-to song, and it's Every Rose Has Its Thorn by Poison.
That is a classic song.
Classic song. It's just enough. Get it, girl. It's just enough range where people can leave listening to that song going, oh, he's a singer. But it's not high enough to where if I was back when I drank and I'm, like, getting belligerent and yelling, I could, like, blow my vocal cords because I have a tendency to do... I have a tendency to get louder when I drink.
Going too hard.
So, that's my go-to. And I also know every note on air guitar to both solos, so...
On air guitar?
Yep.
Is it possible to not know every note on air guitar?
Yeah, because I know where the notes would fall on the guitar. So, like...
So you just know the notes to the song.
No. I know the placement of the hand based on the tone of the note, but I couldn't tell you what the notes are.
That's interesting.
What's it called when it's, like a realistic thing? It's, like,
fake?
What?
What?
Oh, goodness.
How dare you?
It's an anatomically correct guitar solo.
Ah, interesting. Okay. Air guitar solo.
Air guitar solo. Correct.
Okay.
Also, Joe at one point tells Leah to not be a weenie, and then when Joe pulls it out, she yells, "In your face." Which is funny.
Yes.
The scissor guy.
Yeah, scissors in the head. Again, I really feel like they just kind of skated over that. Like, yep. The man has scissors in his head, and I just did not love.
Also, there was a piece of that storyline where Derek is asking Joe a whole bunch of... Like, he's, like, asking the interns questions. He's giving them time to look in the little microscope thing, and Joe answers all the questions right, which my note was, is Joe a savant? Like, she was right about everything. And then Derek says, get the fuck out of here. And she's like, I answered all your questions right. And he goes, yeah, but no one likes a know-it-all.
Yeah.
Spoken from
Again,
the know-it-all.
Truly, like, not a bad teaching episode for Derek, but I appreciate where you're coming from, where you're like, Derek, look in a mirror.
Yeah. But yeah, and then at the end of that, obviously Leah does the fuck up, and then Derek's like, remember that you fucked up, don't remember that she's okay, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, Meredith yells at Derek, and she's like, you can't drop these balls. And he's like, my balls did drop, I don't know what to tell you. And that's the end of the conversation.
And they're like, something's got to change, and they're like, yes, I agree. We are on the same page, something has to change, and neither of us know what it is or how to change it, but... Mm-hmm. You sure are right. We should probably know where our kids are and be able to tell each other where our kids are.
Yeah. We have the technology.
Pretty low bar.
I imagine that even if at this point unlimited text data plans weren't a thing, I'm sure they can afford
which
the
I
texts.
Feel they were.
I think they were. By this, what is this? Is this 2016 yet? Or are we 2014? 2014. I feel like unlimited texting was a thing by this mm-hmm. point. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Derek. Anything else on Derek?
I just think Meredith is so tolerant.
As she
Meredith's
should be.
Never been my favorite character, but like she has the patience of a fucking saint with this man. Yeah. And I just think it's so important that we recognize the fact that Patrick Dempsey is so attractive is why Derek Shepherd gets away with so much.
Mm.
Because if he was not even like actively unattractive, if he was just like a mid normal looking dude, I just think a lot of his shit would get called out way more. He's relying on his looks. He's relying on being charming. And it pisses me off.
Mm.
I don't fall for it. I don't fall for your bullshit, Patrick. I don't fall for your bullshit, Derek.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what makes me so successful.
It's questionable.
My dashing good looks and my charm.
Whatever is the opposite of imposter syndrome is what Carmen has.
Hmm. I was about to say. I'll tell you, I can't say it on air. It's a rare moment if I can't say it on air. I'll tell you
if
later.
If he's filtering, you guys, you know it's fucking bad.
We've got like 5 more minutes and I'll tell, or should we just start a new episode? Like,
did you have anything else to say about Derek and Meredith?
No, but I like that they're communicating mm-hmm. and ultimately Derek fucked up. He knows that, but ultimately as well, the kids were safe. So everything did work out okay. But I think the part that Meredith is trying to hit home, and as parents, I think we both can understand this, is if they keep doing what they've been doing all day, eventually there will be a point in time where they don't get lucky and something does yeah. get fucked up. And that's yeah. the point. There's going to be a time where the kid's left at the bus stop and no one's there to pick up your kid, and then your kid gets stolen. And that's the part that Meredith is saying.
Yeah, or even just like the emotional unavailability of like to your kids, because you can be like committed to your job and still like be present for your kids in ways that matter.
Yeah.
But if you don't even care to like make sure that like the scheduling aspect is taken care of, eventually that's going to trickle down and affect them in a negative way. Not just like being left at a bus stop, but like just feeling like they are taking a backseat to other things in your life.
Yeah.
Also, I did want to mention the girl that he's doing the surgery on that keeps getting pushed when he goes in and her friend is like, "You suck." And he goes, "You're right. I will do the surgery." And she's like, "See what happens when you stand up?" I'm like, "All right, girl, listen, I'm all for advocating for yourself, but that actually did not have anything to do with you. But I do appreciate that you told him off."
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So, but yeah, I think that's it really on those guys. So we'll chat about the other big news of this episode in the next half after everyone's favorite segment.